You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One more win. With that, welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Tuesday night, the Rockets just improved to 3-1 in the preseason with a massive win over the Shanghai Sharks. To some degree, that was expected. After all, the Rockets are an NBA team and the Sharks are not. However, some of the individual stat lines, most notably James Harden with 37 points on 13 of 18 shooting, P.J. Tucker with 22 points in 31 minutes, plus 39 from the field, as was James Harden. Gerald Green plus 37 in his 29 minutes, James Ennis plus 37 in his 25 minutes. Even adjusting for opponent, this was a very strong performance for the Rockets, who set a new franchise record for made and attempted threes. They did lose Jochi early on with an injury that looked pretty bad, sprained knee, taken off on a wheelchair. More on that in a little bit as we move through our 3 points recap. But in our first two segments, I want to move through players who are likely in the rotation. Well, in the case of most of these guys, certainly, as we move towards the regular season. Because to me, it's less about this individual game. Because look, say what you will, it's a massive, massive victory in which the Rockets led by 50-plus for a lot of the fourth quarter. And it's less about that, and it's more about trends. Because certainly you're not playing NBA-level competition. That said, because we're now in our fourth preseason game, the fourth of five, there's only one left, and that being Memphis, on Friday night, then really you can see who's hot, who's not, and you want to dive into who is feeling good about themselves and or rounding into form as the regular season gets ready to begin 8 days from now and 1 week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday. It opens up Wednesday the 17th at home against the New Orleans Pelicans. And so to me, even though James Harden clearly was the star of the game, 37 points plus 39 in his 31 minutes, the two guys that I took the most out of were P.J. Tucker and James Ennis for different reasons. For P.J., look, whenever you have an athlete that's previously had a back surgery, and it wasn't that long ago, it was September 2016, barely over 2 years, when you have someone that misses time with back soreness, as he did the first week of the preseason, missing those two first games, it's a slight alarm. Now, the Rockets downplayed it the entire time, and PJ was out there on the bench. It wasn't like he was in hiding. But at the same time, until you see that player come back and be what he was, there is going to be at least a small level of concern, even though it's the preseason, even though he's saying he'd be out there if the games mattered. Well, we have two games of data now, not just against the Shanghai Sharks, but also against the Spurs on Sunday. And in those two games, the average PJ, 20.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 53.6% from the field in 32.5 minutes, including 31 minutes on Tuesday against the Sharks. Again, PJ, 22 points plus 39 in those 31 minutes. Both of the games, he's played 30-plus minutes. So if you're worried about conditioning, don't be. He's fine. And to me, that's the best sign of all. It's not like he's just making a few threes and otherwise doing it in a small sample size. No, he's able to go out there and play extended minutes. And for a guy with back soreness, basically 2 years after having back surgery and now being in his low 30s, historically, that would be a little bit of an alarm bell. But as we all know about PJ Tucker, he is a different breed. And while two games will not tell the tale, at the same time, I don't care who the opponent is, being a Chinese team, an NBA team, whatever it may be, you don't go out there and play 30-plus minutes of basketball if you aren't feeling good, and let alone 30-plus minutes of basketball and execute at an extremely high level, PJ scoring more than 20 points per game on better than 50% shooting from the field, and tonight, 6 of 11 from three-point range. I'm not going to say the concerns are gone, but what I am going to say is you could not have possibly hoped for more from PJ in these first two games. Now, is he going to suddenly turn into an offensive juggernaut? No, he's the same guy who averaged barely over 6 points per game last year and was not particularly efficient in doing so, shooting below 40% from the field. Of course, it doesn't matter because he's one of the NBA's most valuable defensive players. But in terms of his conditioning, in terms of his fitness, which is what it takes for him to execute at the level he was at defensively a year ago when he was one of the league's most valuable players, and I'd say clearly the most valuable on the Rockets. Well, I should say 1A, 1B with Clint Capela there. Let's give some credit to Clint, who sat out with a minor injury, more on the injury segment or the injury news in our third segment of the show coming up. But as far as what you could hope to see from P.J. Tucker this week after missing the first two games with back soreness, 2 years after he had the back surgery, to me, it's hard not to be optimistic about what we've seen from him these first two games. He's not suddenly going to develop into a different player to where he's a juggernaut. That's okay, because you don't need him to be on the offensive end of the floor. You just need him to be healthy and have the energy it takes for him to provide you the value defensively he did a year ago. And so far, he is doing just that. The other guy, when it comes to defensive guys, I mentioned P.J. Tucker and Clint Capela. Capela sat out with the bruised hand as far as your 1A, 1B in terms of defensive importance. Well, I'd say number two, and could, quite frankly, in certain circumstances, almost join those top two, would be James Ennis. And the preseason, it's been a little quiet for James only because he hasn't always played the most minutes based on the NBA's freedom of movement rules. He's gotten in foul trouble a couple of times, and so that's kind of kept his minutes down. He hasn't had injuries, unlike a lot of the Rockets. Again, we'll go through the injury absences coming up. But while James has been out there, it hasn't always been the most minutes. Now, Tuesday was a bit of an exception. James did get out there for 25 minutes, wasn't in foul trouble. 15 points, 6 of 9 from the field, very nice. 6 rebounds, plus 37, which is astounding. But to put it in greater perspective, because I don't believe in blowing any performance against the Shanghai Sharks out of proportion, for the preseason through 4 games, James Ennis, 11.3 points per game, on 56.7% from the field, and better than 46% from 3. Also, 4.3 rebounds, 1.5 steals, in just over 25 minutes per game. So more than 11 points, more than 4 rebounds, nearly 2 steals on nearly 60% shooting, and above 45% from 3 in just 25 minutes. Even limited by foul trouble, so you have to adjust the minutes down. When you look at his per-minute production, it is the most you could hope for. And so when you're talking about replacing Trevor Ariza, who is not exactly a dominant offensive player in his own right, despite what someone on NBA Twitter might have you believe, James Ennis is showing you signs that he can do exactly that, if not more, based on the strength we've seen from him in transition. You look at this game, I mentioned he was above 45% from three, is, I should say, for the preseason. Well, he was only 1 of 4 tonight, which tells you that he was 5 of 5, made all of his shots inside the arc. He's become a pest for opposing teams in transition with how he's able to run the floor. His energy is infectious. So in terms of whether that combination of James Ennis and P.J. Tucker, if that's the starting lineup, and I tend to believe at this point it will be Eric Gordon, one of the injured guys sitting out with a sore Achilles. I know there was talk before camp, before the preseason began, early in camp, that theoretically Gordon could be the starting three. At this point, I'd be a little surprised, only because the Rockets do have a relatively tough start to the season, and the Rockets have yet to try that lineup in the preseason. Gordon now sitting out with the sore Achilles, so I tend to believe that you'll be starting with James Ennis at the three. Not done. That's just my instinct at this point, given that we're through 80% of the preseason. They haven't tried the Gordon at the three starting lineup just yet. But if James Ennis is your Trevor Ariza replacement, and otherwise it's the big three of Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela around the two defensive-oriented guys, last year Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker, and this year James Ennis and P.J. Tucker, for what we've seen in the preseason, James Ennis is capable of filling that role. And if Tucker's able to do what he did a year ago, we just got done talking about his efficiency and his ability to play 30-plus minutes. If James Ennis is able to stay healthy and then give you the even close to the efficiency, certainly he's not going to stay above 55% from the field and 45% from three the entire year, but if he's able to give you even close to that level of efficiency plus the transition game, I feel pretty confident that you can get from the starting lineup a very similar dynamic to what you had a year ago. So James Ennis and P.J. Tucker, while I feel good about them based on what they showed you against the Shanghai Sharks in this 128-86 romp, I'm not basing it just on this game because it's foolish to draw any big conclusions against a non-NBA team. What I'm telling you is based on the trend lines, 4 games for James Ennis, 2 games from P.J. Tucker coming off the shelf after back soreness, including against the very physically grinding San Antonio Spurs on Sunday, I feel pretty good about where, in my opinion, your probable starting forwards are at with 1 game left in the preseason. Now, I buried the lead a little bit in tonight's show because clearly the lead is James Harden. 37 points, 9 assists, 13 of 18 from the field, 9 of 14 from 3. That's simply ridiculous, and there's no other way to put it. That said, while I didn't make a big deal of James's relative struggles to start the year, he was a little inefficient from the field in his first 3 preseason games, also had a lot of turnovers. Because of that, it's also not appropriate to blow this performance out of proportion. Look, it's the Shanghai Sharks, and James Harden is the reigning MVP of the league. He should be dominant. So, just as you shouldn't be overly pessimistic based on 3 preseason games, I've always said it's not just James, the same goes for Chris Paul. You shouldn't judge stars by the preseason, because when you are at that level, the main objective is don't get hurt. You're not going to hit the turbo button. You're not going to take a lot of contact. Your game is largely going to be defined by whether the threes are falling on a given night. And for James tonight against the Shanghai Sharks, they were. Again, 9 of 14 from behind the arc. And it's nice to see, but just as you shouldn't be overly pessimistic when they aren't falling, you shouldn't be over the moon when they are. It's going to go back and forth. And ultimately, for guys like James Harden, Chris Paul, and I'll throw Eric Gordon in there as well, even though he sat out tonight with Achilles soreness, you're not going to be able to tell a lot from guys that established in the preseason. That said, if you had any concerns about James Harden, and look, I understand where some of you are coming from. If there's one critique for James Harden, I've said this before, over his first 6 seasons in Houston, it's how he's handled success. When there's been a little bit of, he's never had the ultimate success in terms of winning a ring, but in terms of the perception being most positive, I would say that was after the first season when they wildly overachieved expectations, got to the playoffs, and then signed Dwight Howard. He followed that up with, I would say, his worst defensive season when the Rockets ultimately lost in the first round to the Blazers, a very disappointing exit the first year with Dwight Howard, and it was largely because the team, including Harden, did not play very committed on the defensive end. And then, of course, you go to 2 years ago, 41 and 41. I would say that Harden was largely brilliant that year. He did come in a little bit out of shape, although some of that was not really his doing. Certainly, he had an ankle injury the prior offseason that limited his fitness. But regardless, look, you went into the season with championship hopes, and you finished 41 and 41. There's only so much you can sugarcoat that. Bottom line is, there was a lot of positives about Harden going into the year, and he and the team just did not live up to the expectations. So despite what the gaudy stat lines were, that was in that weird Kevin McHale for a very small portion of the season, and then J.B. Bickerstaff year. At the same time, look, it was a little bit of a black eye. We've seen how he's responded the last 2 years. Clearly, everyone counted them out after 41 and 41. We know what happened the first year of Mike D'Antoni, when it seemed to be such a perfect marriage. But then, the end of that year, it was the game 6 against the Spurs, and there was so much criticism. They bounced back. They added Chris Paul. They won 65 games last year. And then finally, after this past year, he won the MVP. And I would say, while he didn't win a ring, it's the most positive reviews James Harden has had yet. And it is fair to wonder, how's he going to handle that? Now, a lot of what's happened to him before in these types of situations has been circumstantial. Again, I don't really pin the 41 and 41 year on him that much. I think some of the defensive issues he had that year were just because of the ankle injury in the offseason. He wasn't in peak fitness, and it wasn't like he wasn't committed. He literally couldn't be. I also think the coaching that year, McHale fired after 11 games, and then J.D. Bickerstaff was largely a disaster. It was an awkward fit. The last year of Dwight Howard, who knew that he was on the way out the door, and eventually that became a bit of a distraction in the locker room. There were all sorts of issues. As opposed to now, it seems to be, again, such a perfect marriage between James Harden and Mike D'Antoni. There's so much linear alignment throughout the organization. Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden all the way on down. They've added Chris Paul, who keeps everyone focused. And this offseason, even though Harden won MVP, and yeah, he had a bit of a victory tour, look, you can see he's taken it more seriously. Obviously, he had a lot to do with recruiting Carmelo Anthony, who, along with a lot of players, sat out tonight. Carmelo, no injury, just due to rest. He is 34 years old. But getting back to James Harden, he took the offseason very seriously. We know that he was instrumental in getting the guys together in early September in the Bahamas when they worked out. So again, if you've been reading the signs for a while, then there's not really anything that the summer of 2018 James Harden has shown you that should be alarming. And quite frankly, if there were any issues earlier in his career with Henley's success, well, he's 29 years old now. This is the age that a lot of players grew up, and it seems that James has done that as well, and he seems to have the competitive instinct where he's all about winning a title, and he's focused, he's all bought in. That said, we can say all that positive stuff, and even though there are excuses, it's just the preseason, none of this matters, blah, 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 it had been a slow start relatively to the preseason, 5 of 12, 5 of 14, 5 of 14, more so in the turnovers, 8 in the first game, 6 in the second, 7 in the third. So I know he's the MVP, I know it's the preseason, I know it doesn't matter, all that matters is him not being hurt, all of that is fine on paper, but at some point you do want to see him execute, and he did that Tuesday night. And so that's why, do I draw any big conclusions out of it? No, James Harden's the MVP of the league, he should dominate the Shanghai Sharks. But the way he did it, again, not just the fact that he posted the stat line, but that he got confident from three for the first time. First, the last two games, he was 3 of 9 and 3 of 10, which is below average. Tonight, 9 of 14. Look, I don't care who you play. It's not easy in any basketball situation to drain threes from behind the three-point arc. And he was doing that in rhythm. And with the Rockets starting off, I believe, with four of the first six games at home, to see him get the ball through the net at Toyota Center, feeling so good after his first game at Toyota Center last Thursday against the Pacers, just 3 of 9. It's a good sign. Are we going to draw any realistic hot takes based on one game in terms of what James Harden is feeling in terms of his career direction? Of course not. Everything I went through earlier is just background about really where James Harden is at entering this season. Nonetheless, before the regular season, you do want to see him, especially with the Rockets, again, having a relatively difficult start with a decent bit of contenders in the first six games, getting some confidence, feeling good about where his shot is at mechanically. And to me, that's what you take out of Tuesday night against the Sharks. Also nice to see him have 9 assists in 31 minutes. He was a nice distributor as well, also had 3 steals. But again, it's James Harden, the MVP of the best basketball league in the world, playing against a team from Shanghai that, no disrespect to Jimmer Fredette and Luis Scola, who were once NBA players. But look, it's not playing even a lower tier NBA team, not even close to that. So again, are we drawing any major conclusions about James Harden? No, absolutely not. The questions, although they're largely overdone and circumstantial, they're still out there. Nonetheless, because again, even the MVP of the league, he hasn't won a title yet, I understand where some of the questions will come from. You want to see something before the year to indicate that he's in the right form and that he is feeling good about himself and that the mechanics are fine. And through the first three games, while none of them were disasters, it hadn't been MVP version James Harden. Again, even adjusting for the competition, what we saw Tuesday night was MVP version James Harden. And while I hadn't really worried about it beforehand, at the same time, is it nice to see it before the preseason closes and the games after just one more preseason Friday, in Memphis? Is it nice to have James Harden show you that, to flash before the regular season begins? I don't know about you guys, but yes, it does. Even for the MVP, it makes me feel a little bit better that, yeah, James Harden, folks, at 29 years old, yeah, he's still James Harden. He's ready to go, and he's ready, hopefully, for a back-to-back MVP season starting next Wednesday against the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, jumping back into the program as we finish off recapping the 128-86 win the Rockets posted on Tuesday night over the Shanghai Sharks at Toyota Center. The Rockets shooting 28 of 66, better than 42% from behind the three-point arc. Mentioned James Harden, 9 of 14 as a standout, but he was not alone in terms of the three-point avalanche. The Rockets, if the game counted, the 28 three-point attempts would be an all-time franchise record for makes, and the 66 three-point attempts, an all-time NBA record, not just franchise record, but NBA record as well, for attempts. Of course, it's the preseason, and it's not an NBA opponent, so this will not officially go down in the record books in terms of setting any marks, although I bet even for preseason, 66 is still a record. That's a little ridiculous, but it is nice to see the Rockets, not just James Harden, set those numbers as well. By the way, Gary Clark, in the wave of the injuries, played 27 minutes. We've raved about him the entire preseason, and not only did he play 27 minutes, 16 points plus 31. He was dynamic off the bench, but he was 5 of 7 from the field, including 4 of 6 from 3. So the undrafted rookie forward from Cincinnati, yeah, even on a deep Rockets team that hasn't even shown you Brandon Knight yet this preseason, again, he'll be reevaluated after the preseason is over as far as where he's at with that infection in his surgically repaired knee. Rockets still have a very deep bench when healthy, including the likes of Gerald Green, who had to start on Tuesday, Michael Carter-Williams, and so on and so forth. Gary Clark, undrafted rookie forward out of Cincinnati. A lot of folks ticket him before the year to Rio Grande Valley. He may still go there, but folks, he's pressing for NBA action sooner rather than later, maybe even by the first wave of injuries in this season, when that inevitably happens at some point, which, knock on wood, you hope it doesn't with the Rockets, but realistically, it happens to every team at some point. Gary Clark looks ready. He looks poised, which you would largely expect from a guy who played 4 years of major college basketball at Cincinnati and really has been with that team CP3 camp for a while. So as far as what an undrafted rookie could show you, I'm blown away by Gary Clark. And yeah, it's nice to see his 4 of 6 from 3 chipping into that overall 28 of 66 night from the Rockets behind the arc. But the bigger story, why Gary Clark is playing 27 minutes, and that's no disrespect to Gary or Vince Edwards, who played 29 minutes, is all the injuries that led the Rockets playing so many of their end-of-the-bench and clear non-rotation players in this game. To go through the list, Carmelo Anthony out due to rest. Clint Capella out, bruised right hand. Michael Carter-Williams out, left knee soreness. Marquise Chris out, left ankle sprain. Eric Gordon out, right Achilles soreness. Isaiah Hartenstein out, left ankle sprain. Nene out, right calf tightness. Brandon Knight out, well, as we know, and just said a moment ago, left knee infection. So that's literally 8 guys who could conceivably play real minutes for you at various stages over this 82-game grind who were not available on Tuesday night. So what's the reaction to that? Again, because it's the Shanghai Sharks, not much. I said on Sunday that I would not draw many conclusions about the injuries in this game because when you're not playing an NBA opponent, other than for conditioning's sake, there's not a whole lot that you can take out of this game. You're going to see it weighted more in terms of the Rockets' preseason evaluations based on the 4 games against NBA opponents, 3 of which have already taken place. So especially for the guys who are locks to be in the rotation, Carmelo with rest, Capella with the bruised hand, Gordon with the Achilles soreness, I don't think you can draw any conclusions other than the opponent was not very good from them not playing tonight. Those guys don't have a lot to prove, and what little you do want to see from them in terms of how they fit in certain roles, we mentioned earlier, does Gordon start or does he continue in his normal role off the bench? Again, you're going to judge that by NBA-level competition, and I do think the Rockets, for the most part, will take that final NBA game Friday against Memphis pretty seriously because, again, it's one of only 4 preseason games you have against NBA-level competition, and I know some will argue, well, it's your last game before the preseason, or before the regular season. Should you treat it like, say, the NFL when no one plays the final preseason game? But look, it's Friday until Wednesday. You have 5 days off after that. I don't think the Rockets will be too afraid in terms of putting people in bubble wrap. You have 5 days off, again, unless a real injury occurs, and that could happen any game at any time. There's nothing that really should be all that daunting in terms of the physical toll because of the extended layoff you have between then and the regular season actually opening next Wednesday against the Pelicans. So my guess is that unless the injuries are real, you'll see most of these guys playing then. And that might be an overstatement. Not to say the injuries aren't real, but when I say the injuries aren't real, I mean would the injury be enough to keep the player out if it were a regular season game? All of these injuries are real, but again, over the 82-game grind, there's hardly anyone, especially by the time you've played 30 or 40 games, that's 100% healthy. That doesn't really exist in the NBA. It's varying degrees. And my assessment is that some of these, especially the more major ones, I'm not alarmed by the major names, that is, Capella, Gordon, Carmelo due to rest. I'm not worried about them because if the game actually mattered, I'm pretty confident they would be out there. That said, I'm confident based on a combination of things the Rockets have said and the fact that this is the Shanghai Sharks. Practice the next couple of days and the game on Friday, that will tell the tale. If some of those guys aren't back out there, and I'll throw Michael Carter-Williams out there as well because what he showed you the first 2 games of the preseason was very legit. If those guys aren't out there in practice and the final preseason game leading to the regular season, then yeah, you do have to treat those a hair more seriously and not just kind of camp bumps and bruises after not really having that much activity over the summer and so on and so forth. Yeah, if they're not out there Wednesday and Thursday in practice or especially Friday for the game, if they're non-participants in all of those settings, then yeah, at that point you do have to wonder about what's their availability going to be for the start of the regular season. I would just tell you guys from what I know, from what I have heard, I'm not worried. Even though it's 8 names, I'm not really worried about any of them. Maybe the ones I'm most worried about would be Hartenstein and Knight, only because with Hartenstein, he sprained the ankle twice. He came back. He did it again last Tuesday after he came back and played relatively, or last Thursday, excuse me, against the Pacers. He came back and played relatively well. And then Brandon Knight, simply because he's missed a year of basketball, and now he has the infection. So with those 2 guys, because it's recurring situations, until they're out there, there is going to be some degree of concern. I get it. But as far as the others, Nene and Carmelo, again, that's largely due to age. And then Gordon, Chris, MCW, Capella. The Rockets aren't saying any of those are major. And again, based on them sitting out against the whopping Shanghai Sharks, I'm not going to draw any conclusions. Now, you should pay attention to the next couple of days to see if they're available in practice, to see if they're out there Friday. If they skip all of those things, then yeah, it's fair to have some concerns. But as we chat Tuesday night, based on everything I've seen, based on the opponent, I'm not worried about any of them. It's a long list, but again, it's the preseason. The Rockets are being cautious, as they should be. At this point, if you have any injuries, then yeah, you've got to be cautious. Now, if you don't have any, of course you want to be out there. It helps with conditioning. That's why James Harden and Chris Paul still continue to play in these games. But if you have any bumps and bruises, this is the time to make sure you're right. And to some degree, players are going to be more prone to bumps and bruises in the preseason because you haven't gotten your body back 100% to playing shape the way it will be in a month or two. Now, one final note, I mentioned the eight guys going into the game that were out. I did not mention Joe Chi, who left in a very scary situation in the first half, wheelchaired off, called a left knee sprain. Some folks are taking that to be a sigh of relief. I would not yet. Again, if there's something, you probably heard this from me and a lot of other medical folks on Twitter, a sprain is a tear. A sprain is confirming ligament damage. Now, there are various degrees of ligament damage from grade 1, grade 2, game 3. There are also different ligaments in the knee. But when someone has a knee sprain, there is impact to the ligaments. Now, hopefully it's not, you know, an ACL tear or a patellar or something terrible. I'm not suggesting it is. I don't know. It would be irresponsible of me to guess. Only the Rockets know the medical records. That said, just because they say it's a knee sprain, I would not necessarily take that as positive news. Really, that's always the initial diagnosis until they go through an MRI, and typically, there's not really on-site MRIs. Typically, you have on-site x-ray machines in which you can check bones, but as far as the MRI, they typically do that the next day, and oftentimes they'll send you to, you know, the hospital or some sort of medical facility, not at Toyota Center, to go through that. So while the Rockets have some idea, probably, through some of the testing they've done, again, they can't really confirm it until they've gone through a real MRI, and so I would not expect an update until after then. Effectively, a sprain is just a placeholder saying there's some damage to the ligaments of the knee as far as how much damage and what ligaments. Stay tuned. Now, again, Joe Chi is not expected to be a rotation player this year, so is it a devastating blow to the team's outlook, even in worst-case scenarios? No, of course not. But he's a second-year player with a ton of promise. He's a guy at the end of the bench with a lot of length. The Rockets like him a lot long-term. So yeah, it would be a blow if he's not able to play, you know, either at the end of your bench, practicing with the team, or at the G League level, whatever it may be. You do want to have him continuing to get better and not having to rehab some sort of major injury. So while, again, no matter what happens, is it going to demonstrably change your outlook in terms of contending for a title this year? No. But is it something you should monitor this year? Or this coming day, I should say, as far as what Joe Chi's availability is for this coming season? Yeah, in my opinion, you should, because long-term, he is a guy with his wingspan, with his athleticism, that as he continues to build strength, could develop into a cheap in-house replacement. You mentioned Gary Clark kind of being an in-house 3-and-D guy that you develop. If someone like James Ennis gets too expensive after a year, well, that's what Joe Chi can be for you at the 5 spot. So it's going to be all the harder, all the more difficult for him if he has some sort of major injury to rehab with and if he's not able to practice for a lot of this year. So even though he's not a player, at the same time, I do think you should monitor it because when we're talking a year or two from now and the Rockets being a luxury tax team for the foreseeable future, yes, they need cheap in-house replacements, then yeah, Joe Chi is a guy that long-term you want to buy into it, even though we haven't seen him in the preseason due to a few injuries. At the same time, I do think you should be hoping that, well, this is not the worst-case scenario, and while the Rockets, again, saying it's a sprain for the time being, that's nice to hear for right now. I don't think it really means that much in the grand scheme. I think there's going to be an MRI tomorrow. We'll have more news then, and for now, we just all have to hope for the best, and hopefully he's able to come back in a short amount of time and then be able to practice or play at the G League level, whatever it may be, to keep getting better, keep working in the weight room to develop his upper body to where hopefully in a year or two from now he's able to be a contributor, a cheap in-house replacement at the big spot, much the same way we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks that Gary Clark conceivably can be as a 3-and-D option. Anyway, though, I think that's enough talk about a Tuesday night Shanghai Sharks romp for one night, so we'll wrap it right there. Again, Rockets 128-86 winners over the Sharks, improving to 3-1 in the preseason. The finale is Friday night in Memphis before the season gets started for real, the regular season that is, next Wednesday at home against the New Orleans Pelicans. So for now, this is where we'll leave you. If you want more content before our next show, I strongly encourage you to follow me or the show on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked on Rockets. Also got, what, Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Always you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, inquire about becoming a potential advertiser of the show, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community, or you, the human being. We would absolutely love to hear from you. Also, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone. If you haven't already subscribed to us, please do. That's how you get episodes right when they come out. And in addition to that, if you'd be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review, if you've not done so already, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, if you haven't checked out our sister shows, Locked On Texans and Locked On Aggies, it's October in Houston, which means we're right in the middle of football season. The Houston Texans and the Texas A&M Aggies, whether NFL or college football is your thing, we do have you covered in terms of teams from this region. So check out those shows, Locked On Texans, hosted by my friends Robert Land and Brian Patterson, and Texas A&M, Locked On Aggies, hosted by Taylor Travis. So for Tuesday night, this will do it. Again, Rockets 128-86 winners over the Shanghai Sharks. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and come back very soon and check us out right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.